Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, one and all, to a very special edition of Web Sleuths Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, not to be confused with my other show, True Crime Radio, on the iHeartRadio network. Believe me, I am confused enough for everybody. Tonight, it is an honor to have Lee County, Florida Sheriff Mike Scott on with us to discuss the murder case with more twists and turns than any true crime story I've come across in a long time, and I bet we don't know the half of it. The murder of Dr. Teresa Severs. Now, most of you listening tonight know the details. I'm just going to go over the basics quickly here in case somebody is listening that has been living in a cave. We want to accommodate you as well. Teresa Severs, 46, was found in her Bonita Springs, Florida home, murdered Monday, June 29th. Her husband, Mark Severs, their children, and her sister were all in Connecticut when Severs' body was found. Dr. Severs had been in Connecticut for a funeral and flew home early. Two men, both from Missouri, have been arrested for the murder. Mark Severs' best friend, Curtis Wayne Wright, and Wright's friend, Jimmy Rogers, both live in Mark's home state of Missouri. Now, that's the basic outline right there for you. Sheriff Scott, welcome to Web Sleuths Radio. I truly appreciate you taking the time out to help us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm sorry it's to discuss such a tragic set of circumstances.
I know. It really is incredibly tragic. And let me just ask you briefly, am I cutting out at all?
Oh, no, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, same here. Thank you so much. It is very, very tragic. What we have found out about Dr. Severs is just how loved she was by her patients and her friends, and the world really is a sadder place without her, that's for sure. First of all, before we get into the questions from our Web Sleuths members, Sheriff Scott, are there any things that you would like to clear up, any misconceptions that you would like to state now for the record so we can clear it up and move on?
Well, perhaps the time frame in terms of between the time of the initial crime, if you will, and us becoming aware of it, responding, and then the arrest, there was some discussion that it was taking too long. Of course, I don't know who determines how long is too long, but I think now that the logistics of an interstate investigation have become known, I think now in retrospect, people probably understand. But initially, there was an awful lot of pressure in the community from media outlets and otherwise, suggesting that, it's been 2 days and still no arrest. It's been a week or 2 weeks and 3 weeks. It was like this constant countdown. And for us, I just want people to understand that we can't discuss play-by-play as these investigations unfold. To do so would be, of course, irresponsible and reckless. And so initially, particularly, we need to be, pretty close to the chest on this stuff. And but certainly never want anyone to have a misconception that it's taking too long. I would like for these crimes to be solved seconds after they occur. In fact, let me check that. I'd like them to be solved prior to even occurring. We have to be realistic. Yeah, we have to be realistic. So, no, I think for the most part, and certainly your opening comments were spot on accurate in terms of Rogers and Wright and the Wright's relationship to Dr. Severs' husband, Mark Severs. So I think on that we can safely move forward.
Fantastic. And it isn't like it's on TV. We're used to seeing everything solved within an hour, and we've just got to realize that we don't get to get in on all the details, even though we want them terribly. It's not our place to have them. So I'm glad to hear that at least now people are understanding that you are doing everything in your power to solve this case. Let's get right to the question. Kate B., one of our wonderful moderators who has worked so hard on the Teresa Severs Forum, wants to know this question. On July 12th, there was a raid on Curtis Wayne Wright's trailer in Missouri. Okay, now, your people from your office, were they there for that raid, or did the Missouri officials raid it and then call you and say, hey, you better get down here? Was it, were you connected in the raid, or did you come in a little bit after they went in?
No, we were absolutely connected. We had the people there from the Lee County Sheriff's Office here in Fort Myers, Florida, that were in Missouri for, in essence, every aspect of this investigation, to include the search warrant that you mentioned. And so our people were there, of course, along with Missouri authorities, as well as authorities from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The FBI, in a case like this, of course, is most helpful given the interstate nature of things. And so we were there, yes, ma'am.
Can you let us in on anything you found by chance?
Well, I can simply say generally that we gathered a substantial amount of what we believe is significant evidence, collected that, of course, processed some of it there. Most was returned to Florida for processing. We've been using private labs here in Florida to expedite things. We do have a state lab. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement, of course, operates crime scene labs. And typically, though, in a case like this, we go to a private lab. So that's what we've done. Some of the evidence has been sent elsewhere in the country, frankly, for specialized testing. It's a very, very complicated set of circumstances involving this, both in Florida at the crime scene and out into Missouri and, frankly, all points in between.
There was also, due to our incredible sleuths on Web Sleuths, they've discovered that Mark owns a condo in nearby Fenton, Missouri. Do you know if that property was searched, and can you comment on anything that was found?
I know the answers to the question or to the curiosity. However, I'm unable to comment specifically to that as to whether or not it was searched and or whether or not anything was found. I am familiar, though, with what that with that reference.
Okay. We had a very close friend of Mark Seaver's come on Web Sleuths, register. I spoke with him. I made sure his identity was correct, that he was who he said he was. And he came on to defend Mark Seaver's, saying that this man that he knew could never do this. And he did mention that, and this was in late August that he came on, he did mention that he had been trying to get a hold of Mark Seaver's for the past 30 days, and Mark had not returned his phone calls, had been basically ignoring him, whereas before, right after the murder, he was easy to get in contact with. They communicated on a regular basis. He did mention this on Web Sleuths, that he was having trouble getting in touch with Mark. Mark was not returning his phone calls. Lo and behold, shortly thereafter, Mark Seaver's called him and told him he did not commit this crime. We don't know what else was said. I have a feeling Mark probably told our member to quit posting, because right after he got that phone call, the member came on and said, Mark Seaver's did not do this. I have heard from him, and this will be my last post. Basically, that's what he said. Do you find that as kind of curious as we all do, that all of a sudden his friend is complaining, he can't get in touch with him, and then boom, he calls him and says, I didn't do this. Would you like to comment on that?
What? Well, I really don't know that I could comment on that. I know that you said you verified who this person was, and perhaps it's just my humble understanding of cyberspace, but I'm not sure how we would, in essence, I'm aware of the fact that people can set up, you know, false domains and different names and different surnames under different postings, and particularly, again, in this world of cyberspace. So I'm not sure who this person was or exactly what they said other than what you've told me. What I can say here is that many people have said many things. There's been a great deal of speculation because of the initial time delay in terms of us announcing information on the arrest in particular. We referred to that earlier at the top of the show. So, you know, there has been some speculation. Certainly there's rumor. There are half-truths. There's, you know, people that get a little bit of information and sort of extrapolate from there. The only thing I can say is that we are guided, of course, by the specific evidence, not sort of the he said, she said, third parties, you know, these unconfirmed, I guess you would say, conversations and communications with people. For those reasons, I don't know that I could really say too much about this apparent friend who, again, apparently, you know, related this story. Beyond what you've told me, that's really all I know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have a... We can't, short of hiring a private detective and searching their birth records, we do always state that, you know, I believe this person is who they say they are. However, you know, they certainly could fool us. I do believe, just based on the information he was able to give and to provide to me, that he was the man who he said he was. Now, whether he was that close of a friend to Mark's, I just have to take his word for it. But, boy, you're right about cyberspace. I'm telling you, it's a tricky field out there, that's for sure. One of our members, Amazon Rain, a fantastic member, wants to know, do you see in paneling of a grand jury to review the evidence, maybe leading to further charges. Is that a possibility in Florida?
That is a possibility in Florida, speaking generally. Now, I'm not so much specific to this case in terms of what I think may or may not happen. Obviously, there are two sets of very strict responsibility. One is the law enforcement's obligation to investigate crime, reach a level of what we call probable cause, and then, of course, make arrests. The second critical phase is not obviously the prosecution. Their burden is, of course, even higher than probable cause. It's beyond a reasonable doubt. And the prosecution, we call it the state attorneys here, state attorney's office, of course, district attorney in many places, but the prosecuting authority ultimately would make a decision like that in terms of whether or not a case, again, generally speaking, a case in Florida goes before a grand jury, or whether or not they file direct file on those specific charges and immediately put the person through the prosecutorial stage. Mm-hmm. I can't speculate on what might happen with this case other than to say generally that is a possibility.
Okay, we'll certainly keep our eye out for that. Are you able to comment on who it was that found Dr. Seaver's body?
No, ma'am, but I will tell you that as soon as Curtis Wayne Wright arrives back in Florida from Missouri, and I expect that to be sooner rather than later, at that point in time, it will trigger a Florida public record law regarding the initial charging documents. Those documents will not be the complete case report, in other words, mm-hmm. literally piece by piece. However, they will be a very, very, very close look into this crime and frankly, the first look for all of the world to see into this crime that we've been unable to discuss. So we'll talk about many more of the specifics, perhaps some of those that regrettably I'm unable to answer clearly or specifically tonight. And again, that doesn't happen with his arrest in Missouri, where he mm-hmm. is now. But when he comes to Florida and then the clock starts, so to speak, on this Florida prosecution phase, that will trigger the release of those documents. They'll be entered into our county clerk's office, and they'll be a matter of public record. I suspect with perhaps some redaction, possibly, of some information, not much, things like medical, perhaps if there's medical information contained in there, different things like that. But pursuant to our public records disclosure law, which is very broad, broadest in the country, that will become available, and it will be a more of a play-by-play insight for the people of the community, of the state, and elsewhere, frankly, the country and the world. In this case, mm-hmm. it's taken on such a persona that they'll be able to know much more about the investigation, and I think understand more clearly what's going on here.
We're talking with Lee County, Florida Sheriff Mike Scott. Sheriff Scott is in charge of the investigation in the murder of Teresa Seavers. And let me ask you about the Florida Sunshine Law. We love it. Obviously, we love it. Do you find it hinders you a little bit to have so much information released about a case you're investigating?
No, ma'am, because there are provisions within the law that, of course, if it's a pending investigation, as this is, then obviously we have much more control over that. Typically, mm-hmm. in Florida, generally speaking, anything at all that's produced in the furtherance of agency business. So my telephone records, my calendar, documents that we produce at the sheriff's office, whether that's for budgets or investigations or otherwise. However, if it is a pending ongoing investigation, we do have the latitude to guard that information. That's why I say some of this may well be redacted, some of the information, and it won't be as comprehensive as ultimately the case report is the thing that has every single shred of everything we've done, whether that's evidentiary interviews, mm-hmm. including transcribed interviews so that people can hear and or read what the interview consisted of, our detectives interviewing Curtis Wright, Jimmy Rogers, and others. So that's a comprehensive overview of what took place. The documents I was referring to that I think will be released rather soon when Wright gets here, Wayne Wright gets here, will be more of a preliminary, cursory look, but certainly much more detailed than anything that we have been able to discuss to this point.
And that brings me to my next question from a member called No, It's Not. Do you suspect or do you have any idea if the 911 call when the body was discovered, if that will be part of the document released under the Florida Sunshine Law when Wayne is brought back to Florida?
It may well be. Working parallel with our state attorney's office, as we have since very early in this investigation, keep in mind now into the 10th week, but working very closely every step of the way with the state attorney's office, those are determinations that will be made. We understand that if and when that, well, not if, when, it's just a matter of when that is released, that will become a very interesting thing for media stories to build around, to play the 911 tape. It's the first initial contact that any of us have with this tragic event, and naturally, then it's a matter of interest. But I can't guarantee that that will be released at the same time as the paperwork. My best guess is, given the nature of this case and given the nature of the work that we have that's yet to be completed and what we believe is unfinished business, in that ongoing nature, chances are we'll be releasing as little as we have to. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. But again, much of that would be with the oversight of our prosecuting authorities, the state attorney's office.
And to tie into what you just said, this case is unusual, and you are obviously holding back as much as you can because it helps your investigation to do so, and that's certainly understandable. But when all is said and done, you've kind of hinted to the fact that you commented stating that when this is all said and done, books and movies will be made about this crime. And one of our members, Loves a Mystery, is curious as to what facet this comment particularly refers to, since it implies something extraordinary. Can you comment or elaborate on that at all?
Well, I can. I would say that just the nature of our discussion now, the nature of other national discussions that I've had, Nancy Grace, we've already had discussions with 48 Hours, NBC Dateline, things of that nature, not to mention absolute avalanche of media interest, both locally here in Florida and in Missouri. I've done many interviews with media partners in Missouri. That alone tells us that there's something extraordinary about this case. And keep in mind, again, the public and the media does not know anywhere, and you alluded to this at the top of the show, rightfully so, that does not know even a scratch the surface of what we know. So my thinking here to the question, if it's this interesting at a national level at this stage of the game, with what everyone doesn't know, if you will, imagine how interesting it will be when all these dots get connected. I did make the reference that I do believe, based on what I see in terms of watching television, reading books, online and otherwise, just the nature of society and its interest in these crime-type shows, these forensic files, these unsolved crimes, etc., that this has the makings of a movie and or a book, or certainly further discussion about the tragic events that led up to and then subsequently evolved out of Dr. Seaver's death. This is a young professional woman, a mother of two, as you mentioned earlier, revered in the community, revered by her patients. I knew her personally. She and I served for a short period of time together on a thing here called Our Mother's Home. It's a wonderful program that helps unwed mothers or pregnant mothers. But with that said, it was brief. It was probably a six-month period, and then I left the board, and she stayed on. But the point of the matter is she was very, very well-known. I think the nature of her profession, she's an attractive woman, the mystery that surrounds this type of clearly a murder. It's obviously, this is no accident, and the totality of this and the interest thus far, again, to the question, tells me that this is an extraordinary case, even based on what little we know, or I should say others know to this point. We know quite a lot. We probably don't know, we being law enforcement, probably don't know everything yet. Obviously, if we did, we would, make further announcements and or perhaps deem it to be closed. But we remain open to additional information. We remain open to tips that may come in. We don't want to close the door because we believe there's a lot of unfinished business.
Oh, that, boy, that is the truth. I can imagine what is yet to come that we will discover. Sheriff Scott, you've made mention of a possible other arrest. Do you think it's, can you say whether you believe it's going to be one person, two people, or you don't really have a number?
I don't have a number. I can tell you that, again we follow the evidence. I've said publicly and will say to you certainly here and to those participating in this that I would not rule that out. But we do believe, certainly we believe, that Curtis Wainwright and Jimmy Ray Rogers, that the evidence very, very clearly points to their involvement in this case, their specific and their direct involvement into this case, at scene involvement. Again, there could be, as with any case, there could be issues prior to the event, during the event, or certainly in the immediate or subsequent aftermath of the event. So, you know, pre-event, at event, and post-event, others involved directly or indirectly. There could be other witnesses. There could be other suspects. We don't believe there are other victims, although I would submit that the two children, certainly, and many people, in essence, are victims of this crime because it's gripped our community. I was born and raised here in Lee County. I'm 52. I've been here my whole life. And I've been in law enforcement well over half of that time. I don't know that I recall a case quite this high profile. We've had several that were very, very high profile, but this is right up there. And this is why I say it would be very premature to rule anything out, whether that be further arrests, one, two, three, four. Again, I just wouldn't be able to put a number on it.
Got it. Understood. We at Web Sleuths, Sheriff Scott, we're very careful not to discuss people as possible suspects unless something has been said in the mainstream media that they are considered a suspect by the police or considered a person of interest. You've added a new twist that has got everybody just spinning, trying to think, is he a suspect or not? You said something, and please correct me, words to the effect of that Mark Sievers, Teresa's husband, and Wayne Wright's best friend, Wade Wright's best friend, is in the envelope of suspicion or is around the envelope of suspicion. What did you mean by that?
That's correct. The general envelope of suspicion being, again, broadly, In any case of this nature, or specific to this case, we typically initially look from the inside out. So the people that are, it stands to reason if you think about this, the people that are closest to the victim, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, and then you extrapolate out from that to perhaps good friends, very, very close family, friends, neighbors, and or business partners. Those people that are generally in the immediate circle or the immediate sphere or envelope of the victim, initially, of course, are persons of great interest to us, either for their involvement perhaps as a suspect or their involvement perhaps as a witness, but certainly their general involvement or what they might be able to contribute to the investigation. And then from there, you work on. In other words, when we first responded to this 911 call that we talked about earlier, we didn't immediately say, oh, well, this must have something to do with someone in Missouri, you know, or California or Ohio. You generally want to work from the inside out. The inside out led us to Missouri. So that's what I referred to. And again, in any case, if a husband is killed, the wife and or those immediate family members, friends, and close business associates are going to be within that realm of, again, witness slash suspect slash et cetera in terms of their involvement or their knowledge of the case.
Well, I'll have to tell you, Sheriff Scott, I love that term. Within the envelope of suspicion, because that really just does describe what you said. It's a perfect way to describe it. We do have to be careful because we can only really talk about the people who've been arrested. It would be horrible to assume that somebody is a suspect and treat them like a suspect on the internet and have their lives torn up if they're not. So we have to be very careful, and that is part of our responsibility on Web Sleuths to make sure that we try and be as fair as we can to everybody involved in the situation, because like you said, there's a lot of there are definitely innocent victims out there, like the children. It's very, very tragic. We have a member named Cool J wants to know, do you feel that this investigation will lead to any other different crimes other than ones connected to Teresa Sievers?
It's a great question, and it's an absolute possibility, again, with any crime. Let's speak to this one, though, generally. We've charged these two men at present with second-degree murder and the death of Dr. Sievers. My thinking is that a person who kills, a person who steals, a person who uses drugs, a person who commits any type of crime, it does happen where that's the only time they've done it. Certainly we catch drug dealers and or users, and it's the very first time in their life that they ever used a dealt drug, but generally speaking, not the case. Generally speaking, you know, a person that especially has a little bit of a proclivity to commit crime, as both of these men have prior records, it is not, it would be very, very reckless and inappropriate and inaccurate for me to just issue a statement that says, you know, they've never committed another crime that will perhaps be discovered through this investigation, or you know, that they're suspecting something else. Many times, when a person is caught, let's say in a case like this, other things come into play. Thanks to the technology of DNA and so many other you know, progressive things with evidence and testing, as everyone out there knows, you can go back now on colder cases, older cases, with DNA and other methods of trying to link perhaps people to other things that occurred that may be a cold case. So speaking again generally, I would not rule that out. I would certainly not say that no other charges in Florida or elsewhere, specifically Missouri, that's where they live, could possibly result from this. Again, we start the investigation from that 911 call, from our initial deputy on scene, to the literally avalanche of people that responded subsequent to that, and we move from there methodically, slow and steady, as the evidence takes us. It took us to Jimmy Ray Rogers, Curtis Wayne Wright, and it has taken us elsewhere in areas and directions that I can't discuss, but simply to say it is our goal to leave, and I know it sounds cliche, but no stone unturned. And by the way, this is a high-profile case that we're all, you know, there's a lot of discussion. But we do this with every case. So some are solved more quickly. Some take longer. Clearly, the logistics of interstate activity here created a time delay for us. You know, simply putting people on planes and then work out of hotel rooms and, you know, eating in restaurants away from their families for weeks at a time. The first time we went out to Missouri, we went thinking we'd be there for 3 days. We were there for 3 weeks.
Wow.
Our people had to literally buy more clothing while they were there. They
mm-hmm.
So, you know, we left with some evidence thinking, okay, we can probably go out there a day or two, get this thing resolved, get some questions answered, and return to Florida. We get there, and we continue to snowball with evidence and findings and information that kept us there, again, 3 weeks on a 3 day. So it's kind of like, you know, Gilligan went out for a 3 hour tour and they were on the island for a long time. Yeah, there you go.
Not quite a 3 hour tour, but certainly a long one. Sheriff, I know you have a lot to do. Do you have any final comments that you would like to say before we cut you loose?
I would just simply say that, as I mentioned earlier, we never discourage people from giving information. You mentioned already in this conversation someone who was party to this program, who at least, you know, apparently thought they had some information they wanted to share with you and or the followers. Yes, that would appeal to people that if they have information they want to share with law enforcement relative to this case or any other case, we're always welcome that information. But we appreciate everybody's patience and interest in this and understanding that it is very complicated, a very complex, intricate set of circumstances that we are working through. I'm very proud of the agency, and I think we'll see more clearly as the paperwork comes forward and some of the information is released, exactly what is involved here. It's quite fascinating.
Sheriff Mike Scott from Lee County, Florida, thank you so much. We know how busy you are. It means a great deal to us that you took this time out of your busy schedule to help us understand this case more. When the documents are released, I hope you can spend a little time with us as we continue in investigating in our own way on Web Sleuths and discussing this case. And we hope to have you back again real soon. And if you need anything from us, don't hesitate, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, and I'd love to rejoin you perhaps when we have additional developments that we can discuss.
Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you so much. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, there you have it. Sheriff Mike Scott, what a great guy. I have to tell you, when I wrote him, I write people all the time to appear on this show, or I should say the iHeart True Crime Radio show, and they never respond. I always try and shoot for the big fish, and you know, occasionally I'll get a minnow here and there, occasionally a big fish. And when I wrote Sheriff Scott, I just thought, there's no way. There's just no way. He's too busy. He wrote immediately back. We've been in communication since then, and I'm telling you, this man is a good man. He is dedicated, and I believe everything he says. He has done nothing to indicate that he's going to be anything but truthful as he can possibly be at this point in the investigation. And we'll continue to check in with Sheriff Scott as well. But in case you haven't noticed, at websleuths.com, we do have a Teresa Seavers forum that has been set up. Just go to websleuths.com, scroll down. You'll see it there. It's under Hot Cases, and it has a lot of great information. Many of our great sleuths are on that case and digging up new things every day. But I'll tell you what, it has been our amazing administrators and moderators. Cold Pizza, Beach, Bessie, Kate B. has been a tremendous help. I'm going to go on and on here because everybody has been helping. They've been working like crazy. TLCYA, Sparky, Silly Billy and Makara, and Okie Granny, everybody pitching in while others are working on the Teresa Seavers forum. They're taking up the slack and covering the rest of the forum because the rest of the forum continues on. So I just want to personally tell them from my heart and soul, thank you. You guys have been amazing. Now, don't forget, tomorrow night, it's True Crime Radio on the iHeartRadio Network. And we do have a chat room open for that. It's not here. It's not on Blog Talk. Go to truecrimeradio.com. Click on the chat room at 8:30 Eastern. At 8:30 Eastern, click on chat. You can join us in the chat room. And then at 9 o'clock Eastern at truecrimeradio.com, click on the Listen Live, and it'll take you to iHeartRadio. And tomorrow, we've got some great discussions. We're going to talk to a woman who had the most terrifying stalking experience, and she's turned it into a positive by helping others to learn how to protect themselves. We have an app that's being developed in California that will blow your socks off. This app is going to help people match missing people to unidentified in the morgues, and it is an incredible application. We're going to have the developer of that app on the show. Bessie will be on the show to talk about the next step, which is our cold case updates, and lots going on tomorrow night. That's truecrimeradio.com at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8:30 for chat room. I think that's it. Let me see if I can just check here in the chat room. I keep getting kicked out of chat, and hold on here. Let me get to the chat room. Okay. Anyway, yeah, looks like we've got everything wrapped up here. So I'll tell you what, we'll talk tomorrow night on iHeartRadio. We'll keep in touch with Sheriff Scott, and he has said how we can help is if anybody has information, they encourage them to call in to the sheriff's office. They want to hear from everybody. Okay, you guys be safe out there, and we'll be back on iHeartRadio tomorrow night, and of course Blog Talk when we have a special show. We always come to Blog Talk Radio. Now, this show will be up in our archive shortly here on Blog Talk. I do not have a transcript. Anybody is welcome to transcribe it for me. I would greatly appreciate it. But we'll see you tomorrow night on iHeartRadio and truecrimeradio.com. Tricia Griffith signing off. Be safe and join us on websleuths.com. Good night.